Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we are in Exodus chapter, we're in Exodus chapter 18, and we begin our study in verse 24. This is our 15th study, verse by verse, going through Exodus. Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 18, verse 24. So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law, and he did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Moses was a good leader, because he was holy, of course, and because he spent time with God. And his closeness with God made him humble enough to consider the advice of others. See, a godly person doesn't pretend to have all the answers and is not threatened by the fact that he doesn't have all the answers. Chapter 19, verse 1. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. This is the same mountain where God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. You know, baby eagles, they never want to get out of their nests. So the mother has to literally knock the eagle out of the nest, and then she is careful to fly underneath it to keep it from hurting itself if it should falter. And that's what God did for Israel. God freed them from Egypt, and then like a mother eagle, he stood by ready to catch them when they ran into trouble. 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Israel is a nation because God promised Abraham that he'd make them into a nation. But if they want to be a blessed nation, then they have to obey the law that God is about to give them. If they want to get along with God and be his treasured possession, then they cannot live in sin. 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. A priest is someone who represents sinful man before God. If Israel is an obedient nation, they put themselves in a position to be used by God as priest. If they are holy, God can use them to reach out to a lost world that is on the way to hell. 7. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. The people were eager, and they were very confident. Oh yes, we will obey God. You tell God that he doesn't have to worry about us. Well, you know the Bible says, if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. The Israelites would have been wiser to say, we sure want to obey you, Lord. Will you help us? Verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. God will talk to Moses, and he's going to do it in front of everyone. That is God's way of making it clear that Moses is his man. The people will see that, and they will say, well, that Moses, he can be trusted. He talks to God, and God talks to him. 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Dirty clothes would be a sign of disrespect. And hopefully, as they wash their clothes in preparation for meeting God, it will sink in that God is even more interested in them having clean souls. 12. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain, shot through with arrows or stoned to death. That's the punishment for anyone who even touches the foot of the mountain when God is on it. Now, someone tell me again that God is a sentimental grandfather type who will let everyone into heaven and will tell them, you know, that everything's okay and you didn't need to be holy and God doesn't demand this and God doesn't demand that. Let somebody tell you that, and I will tell them that God is holy, without sin, and God will consume with His wrath anyone who tries to approach Him with even one unforgiven sin on their soul. 14. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. This was a time for total dedication to God. It was a time to seek God by setting aside normal activities. 16. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. There are Christians who try to command God around. There are other evangelicals and Pentecostals who talk about God in such a flippant way. And I look at the thunder and I look at the lightning and the trumpet blast that announced His arrival, and I think, boy, we better take God seriously. He is no one's servant. And He is not just one of the guys either. 17. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Notice, they did not touch the mountain. That lightning, thunder, thick smoke, and angelic trumpet blast convinced them that God meant business. 18. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Boy, this isn't theatrics. This is God sending a message. Attention. Attention. Sinful man cannot stand in the presence of Almighty God and live to talk about it. Verse 20. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. Now God already warned the people, but he tells Moses, warn them again. Warn them again. Judgment is God's strange work, the Bible says. He does not like to do it. Not at all. And he does everything he can to help us avoid it. That's why he has put so many warnings in his word. Verse 23. But Moses said to the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, Set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. In other words, Lord, they won't do it. No one in their right mind would do it. Moses doesn't know the Hebrews as well as God does. Verse 24. Then the Lord said to him, Away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priest and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. God knows these people are a stiff-necked people who never saw a rule they were not tempted to break. So he has Moses go down and warn them again. In verse 20, or chapter 20, verse 1, And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And so before God gives his commandments, he reminds Israel who he is and what he has done. Verse 3, You shall have no other gods before me. God, by the way, is not a name. It is a title. Whatever you think about the most, whatever you live for the most, is your God. God says it must be me. If it is not God, then it is the sin of idolatry. 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. Now, it is not a sin to have a picture or a statue. It is a sin to make it into an idol. It is a sin to worship it. Look at verse 5 again. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Now this does not mean that God will punish you for the sins of your grandfather. That would go against the clear word of the Lord in Ezekiel 18. If your great-grandfather hated God, he will pay for it. If you hate God, then you will be punished also. The third and fourth generation thing, it's just a figure of speech, meaning successive generations. And what he is saying is that he deals with all people of all generations in the same way. Verse 6. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Notice that it doesn't say that people who love God and keep his commandments will earn blessing. God says he will show them mercy. See, the best, most dedicated child of God still deserves God's wrath for the sins that they are guilty of. God knows their heart. He knows if they've received Christ, and if they have, then he will show mercy to them. 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And this includes swearing in God's name that something is true when you know that it is not. It also includes using God's name as a curse word. It also prohibits saying things like, well, God spoke to me. And God said you are to, you know, do this and do that. It is a sin to use the holy name of God, the holy name of Jesus, in a reckless way like that. We'll stop there for today and pick up our study in verse 8 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.